Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Let me, as we stand up, with a loud ovation, as we welcome the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, Apostle Fermi Lazarus.
First and foremost, can we lift our hands to God and bless God for such an unusual meeting as this that He has established through His Son? I'd like us to lift our voice clearer and better and say thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. What a time to be alive. Be in the center of your will. Oh, bless you, Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you for what you are doing specifically through this house. Thank you. Thank you for your mighty hand upon this house. Give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Hallelujah. Can we please be seated? Thank you. I think first and foremost, let me find out, go to my host, celebrate Dr. Collins. He's a man of prayer. I need to come and shut down. Yeah, I'll be telling you. Shut down. Shut down and pray. Honestly, the secret of men is in their routine. I really thank God. And, you know, coming for this meeting for me is... if an invitation comes here 10 times in a year, I will honor it 10 times in a year. That's how much this place is. And I will want us with so much honor rise on our feet and celebrate the angel of this house. Thank God for him. Amen. Honestly, I'm a kind of person that what determines people's weight in my heart is the quality of heart they run with. And honestly, this your pastor is a man with a heart that is just an unusual man. And when I just came here, I was just looking at him. And I want to say this to you. God has planted you here. Stay. What I'm seeing God do through this meeting, I'm not talking in terms of the mandate, in terms of the strategic nature of it. I'm seeing something really similar and even in much more proportion to what God is doing, Pastor Godfrey Madden, this city. and to the body of Christ in Nigeria. I recognize him by the Spirit as a man sent to this generation. I know what I'm saying. And I feel so privileged, Pastor, to be a part of this work. So, so privileged. I think January I was not able to come. Fasting shutdown period. That's, you know, and it's always like that. So I'm so excited. I mean, we were talking about possibility of changing this time, ASU strike. And it's a matter of faith. In the midst of strike, still holding meeting at this time. Let's honor this man. Let me celebrate Pastor. Good luck. Thank you, sir. I'm really honored to be here. I'm blessed to be here. I'm blessed. I'm honored. Thank you so much, sir. And I want to celebrate the leadership of this house. Thank you for having me. Please, let's listen. I want to celebrate my people. Pastor Bolu, Kemi, so good to have you. So, so honored. And our pastors and leaders that came with me, thank you. So blessed. I was telling Dr. Collins that we need to have a small meeting where we just shut down. It was a prophetic meeting. Few of us. So that's an invitation I'm giving you, Pastor. As I'm dropping this mic, I'm calling Lawrence, I'm calling everyone I need to call. Just have a small gathering. Because I perceive that if we wait till 2023 to begin to enter into certain labels, we are already too late. Something is brewing. Amen. So this meeting itself is a setup in many ways. And because when your pastor sent me the topic, and so it's a two-way street. When people invite me and they send topic, I check for the text. There are meetings that when I don't see the text, I can't just say it. But there are meetings that when I don't see the text, I know they are laborers. I know it's a setup. So I know this meeting is set up. So I pray and trust in God that He will help me build on the foundations already laid. And you say amen on my behalf. You need to be interceding for me. Alright? And then I'm going to speak in the direction of the body behind this meeting. By the help of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I want to celebrate the worship team. That worship I met. I don't get carried away. And I know presence when I see one. So much here. I feel like just waiting here and pray all night. So much weight of God's glory. Wonders without numbers. Father, I ask that you will use these lips of clay and fill me with your wisdom, with your strength and your power in the name of Jesus. Let this word be communicated with your intentions in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are two parts I'm going to bring, but I'm going to speak about a part and introduce the second part ahead of tomorrow. Is that okay? Is that clear now? It's always interesting speaking to doctors. It's very, very interesting. People are very intelligent people. So God will help me. I put everything in God's care, my grammar, everything, the Holy Spirit. Your pastor used one English, you know, it was like he was prescribing a drug. I said, okay, we are here. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, I want us to look at the book of Joel, chapter number 2. The text we want to look at is verse 30, but we're going to, for the sake of contextual understanding, we're going to look at it from verse 28. Joel, chapter number 2, from verse 28. Says, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Verse 30. Who is there? Verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens. Go back there, verse 30. And in the earth, blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. Let's just stay here. Back at verse 30. I will show what? Wonders. Where? In the heavens and in the earth. He mentioned two things we are familiar with in terms of the revelation of God's wonder in the Old Testament. We know about the pillar of fire. We know about the smoke, which is the cloud. But there's something new. Blood. So, if you read Joel 2 from verse 1, you know that this scripture speaks about what will happen in the last days. And most times, when we are talking about the last days, we are too carried away looking at the bad things that is going to happen, the terrible things. The solution to those terrible things that will happen is us. That's the solution. There is no greater Holy Ghost coming than the one who came on the day of Pentecost. But rather, it's going to find more expression. Are you following me? Just want to lay a foundation. He's going to find more what? Expression. So he said, I'm going to show wonders in the heavens. So there are many things about this scripture that, you know, as students of scriptures, your heart should begin to link up with many other things now. Am I correct? I'm going to show wonders in the heavens. And it says, and that the last time we're seeing these two placed side by side was Genesis 1:1. That in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But in Genesis 1:2, scriptures now says that the earth was without form and void. But what we are seeing here is, what I'm going to do is going to be a wonder that will thunder from the heavens, and there will be no obstruction for it to manifest upon the earth. Alright? I will show wonders in the heavens. I'm trying to make sure I stay at the foundation laying phase of this teaching, so that I don't go into things that are away from the curriculum. Alright? But you hope you also know that when Paul was talking to the Ephesian church, he was showing them something. So, he mentioned heaven several times while he was speaking with them. But I want to show you one of the contexts. Alright? One of the contexts in which he used that word. So, look at it. Ephesians chapter number 6. We're going to start the reading from verse 10. Ephesians 6. Alright, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The root word there is not the word high place. Can you give me the amplified translation? Now look at it. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against, all right, despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirits, forces of wickedness in where? The heavenly sphere. So when he says that there's going to be wonders in heavens, he's not talking about just where the angels are. He's just talking about where there's powers. Let me, please pay attention. Is that okay? Pay attention. I believe so much that God is very intentional about us. So when he says that there's going to be wonder in heavens, and we are looking at it, please don't take that scripture away, at Ephesians 6. Alright? It's like there are several amplified. Let me read from my own amplified. Alright? It says, for our struggles is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So if scripture says that there's going to be wonders in heaven, not what you are thinking. So who are those who are inhabiting, who are living in those heavenly realms? They are called what? Spiritual wickedness. Somebody say spiritual wickedness. Come on, say it again. Say it again. Loud and clear. Okay. So, what does it mean to be wicked? Sometimes we stumble on social media stories, a stepmother has beaten with his stepson or step Abby. Sometimes people beat their children to come out, step children to come out. Somebody's maltreating their house. It's wickedness. Abby? Is that wickedness? But there are higher level of wickedness. This one, the fellow is feeling fine, but he's dying. Let me give you an illustration. Because most times when we just read about spiritual wickedness, what you just think is that they are the ones behind violence. They are the ones behind all those Boko Haram activities, all those terrible things, their spiritual wickedness. No. That's not what they do. This one are not on the earth. Yeah, they are in the heavenly spheres. The intelligence of God is deeper than what you think. The circumference for what you know is the Bible. But God is deeper than that. Because before the Bible was uttered, he was. Is that okay? And when the heavens and the earth will pass away, we'll still have to be searching him. We'll not have finished exhausting him. I think I saw something somewhere that the earth is less than 1% of, it was 1% of the observable universe. Just like a tiny drop of water in the ones who can observe. So you see those who are in space, when they are talking about from one planet to another, they are not talking about so and so hours, they are talking about light years. Alright? So and so billion light years to get so and so place. So the heavenly realms that scripture is talking about is not up. And heaven is not up. Because that's not where the heavenly realm is. When they were building the Tower of Babel, it was not a tall building. Because heaven is not in meters. What they were building was a shrine. It was an altar with which you can switch from the physical realm into another realm. Alright? So when scripture talk about spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, I'm trying to just, let me just give you an illustration. Is that okay? Can I give you an illustration? I'm careful so I can, you know, I love the body of Christ, so I'm careful about what example I give. Let me give you an illustration. These ones, they don't come to meet you. You are the one who gets their attention and go to meet them. Are you aware that somebody who is not well learned, right, in study of scriptures, who doesn't understand the basics of God's word, can begin a lengthy spiritual activity, and the fellow will gain attention of certain forces in the heavenly realms, and they will speak to the person. It will take deliverance for the person to know he's not hearing God. Have you seen people that the journey began on their knees till they became miserable? They got the attention of some spirit. And there are foundations that if late in your life, somehow, somewhere in between your journey, you'll be lost. One of such foundations is stubbornness. I don't have time, but I've shown you three very basic arrows, the devil function. 1 Samuel 15, rebellion, stubbornness. So there are people that begin. And this is what I'm telling you is a very serious thing. Listen, the spirit realm is a very intelligent realm. The spirit beings are not dumb. The devil is never going to. What do you see as spiritual attack in Africa? Those that want to kill you, those that want to, I mean, cause you to have an accident. This, that. The devil himself primarily is not interested in killing you first. Primarily, you can do more damage than dying. There's a lot more that can happen to your life that is of economic importance to the devil than dying. Why should he kill you if he can make you make 1,000 men fall? So there are many people that they are boasting in the fact that there is no physical manifestation of attacks. Meanwhile, they are really under attack. But it's not coming at them in the way they want, in the way they think it will come. So they find some words with which they define it. The wickedness of the devil doesn't look wicked. That's the summary of what I'm telling you. It looks very interesting, but it's a journey. Alright? I have met many people, many believers. People, passionate people. Alright? Passion, they love God. They just begin to engage in some long fast. Why? They say, Pastor, here they will fast for long. Do some 200 days. And they are not food. They don't come out of it. One told me. He said he met Jesus. I said, which Jesus? He said, Jesus. He said, Jesus told him to wake up everyone here and turn towards the east and call certain angels that when he summoned them, anybody he speaks to the following day, whatever he tells the person, the fellow cannot say no. And as he was talking, I was looking into his eyes. This is a demon dealing with you here. And he was talking with food. At some point, he got up again. He said, Jesus came to meet him again and said that if he meets people with so and so condition, he should anoint them with his saliva. I'm telling you, this boy's case, he now gathered his own disciples, boys and girls, and he will lead them to one place to go and pray, and he will tell them that Jesus told, I'm telling you physically, read story, that what he should use to administer Holy Communion is wine plus the life that is in his spirit. And he will serve that cup, and they all will drink it, and guess what? They will even fall under the anointing. So, a believer who is using physical manifestations to endorse the move of God is dead on arrival. Because there can be the same manifestations yet under different spirits. Are you following what I'm saying? Is there no reason why I think myself and my wife, she was showing a documentary on Netflix. All those things come. Some people were saying that they got an handkerchief, they carbon date, did all those things, that it was what Jesus used to wipe his face. They were trying to. There's a reason why God did not allow technology to go hand in hand. Do you think it was too big for God to have done that a technology for snapping pictures would have been available in the days of Jesus? It was not too big. After all, people break into new discoveries because heaven granted them the permission to break into. Science does not operate on its own. It is built on the laws of God. But there is a reason why that part was concealed. Because the interest of God is not for you to know Jesus by faith, but to know him in scriptures. Such that a generation will arise that the tool of their boasting is not in the physical appearance, but in the discovery of who he is on the pages of the world. Because those who are not descending from the world and want to see him physically, they will confuse themselves and the generation that follow them. So there are different spirits in the heavenly spheres that are spirits of wickedness. They do things, what they do is that they influence systems. What did I say? They influence what? Systems. The influence system, it is the end result of what is gotten through them that is wicked. Not the activity. I was seeing something on Twitter about the daughter of Elon Musk or so, one of his child, broke away from him and said she wants to be asking another name, saying that maybe a son or a boy, I don't remember, that doesn't feel is a boy or a girl. Look at what is happening. Tell me if it is not wicked. So you give birth to it, your own child. And then you say, I'm not going to determine whether this child is a boy or a girl. This child will grow up to tell me what he is. Let me give another illustration. I'm trying to bring this thing home. For you, because this thing is, in the end, is not for us to live shrouded. There's this woman that sings, we call her Madonna. I think about some years back, she came to Africa and adopted a boy. She came to, I can't remember whether Senegal or so. How about you know Madonna? Do you know what I'm talking about? Let's leave it. Maybe I'll ask about Mary Magdalene. She adopted a boy. If you look at the fact that this woman has adopted a boy, what will you say about that boy? His prayer has been answered. Oh, help us come. As we speak now, the boy is correctly identified as a girl. From that moment, is that wickedness or not? What I'm telling you is that wickedness can look like lottery. The operation of wickedness may start in your life the day you get to America. Meanwhile, you can be in Nigeria here and you think God is not well. But meanwhile, going there, you will have physical things to boast with for life, except being in the center of God's plan. It is an exchange. So when God is saying part of the things that will take place in the last days is that there's going to be wonders in the heavens, I am going to dislodge the activity of spiritual wickedness. I'm going to expose their system. I'm going to cause an exposure of their corruption. So I'm going to say today, wonders in the heavens. You know, the word wonders means whatever it is that brings amazement. Anything that brings what? Amazement. Usually it is new things that are wonderful. And you know the funny thing here is that everything new brings a form of edification to the soul. Not necessarily the spirit now. Everything new brings a form of edification to the soul. And that doesn't make it really right. So when God is saying, I will cause wonders, what is he saying? I am going to do the kind of things that people are not familiar with. And see, God in himself, everything he does is new. Even when he repeats the same old things, he repeats them in a new way. Because this, like I said, this topic is a very, very broad one. Please pay attention to this. So when God is saying, I will cause wonders, if you look at Genesis chapter number, Genesis 1, 26, 27, what took place there was wonderful. 26, 27. Genesis 1, 1, that was wonder. In the beginning, God created, God made. The word made there is the word bara, he invents. In Genesis 1, verse 26, come, let us make man. The same word used there to invent in our own image is going to be a being that the kind has not been seen before. If you go into the subject of demonology, they will tell you that demons are disembodied spirits and you want to go into the pre-Adamic race, blah, 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 and all that. But this kind, his kind has not been, is on earth, physical, yet carrying the breath of God with which he can interact with divinity and yet manifesting physically. It's like a being with legal access to two realms. But in Genesis chapter number 3, Genesis 2, God brought woman from the man. The first thing he said, original edition, was wow, wonderful. Genesis 3, man crashed. And when God was going to talk about the rescue, how this man, as in humanity now as a whole, will be helped, he said, I am going to put enmity between you and the serpent, between your seed and our seed. The serpent will bruise the heel of your seed, and your seed will bruise the head of the serpent. It was a word that did not make sense. If God had said that to Adam, the devil had every right to attack any other person giving birth to. He doesn't know who amongst the seed. But when God was saying that statement, he was saying that to Eve. It didn't make sense. You are not supposed to be having a seed. You are supposed to be an incubator. So when God says that I'm going to make your seed, what I want to do is conceal. Please pay attention to this. It's concealed in the seed that you will have. And anyone that looks different will look at Abel, will look at Dinah. The devil went after anyone that looked like God was looking in their direction. Until Isaiah came and said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Are you aware that all that it would have taken for Christianity to have been is more complications than we have now is for Joseph and Mary to have at least had sex once. And Joseph in his heart can't tell, am I the one that slept with her? Is this child mine? But it is wonders in the heavens that God, please pay attention. You don't understand what I'm saying. Sister, please come. Sorry. Do you mind I use for example? Please come. Imagine, what's your name, ma'am? Good. Imagine this woman of God come here, and you have seen her stomach big. You know her fiance, and you know they are not married. I hope I'm not. So the way you are even looking at me, but just follow me. And she says, "Church, I know you may not believe it. What I want to tell you is true. What happened to me is not what you are thinking. What happened, because please, you need to understand, I'm going somewhere. When we read the Bible, we don't read from the perspective of what is really real. What happened to me is that an angel told me that God, I found favor with God, and then I'm going to give birth to a child, and then this you are seeing here happened. He said, Joseph, it's not Joseph, oh. But listen, this was what Joseph did. Joseph quickly, he covered her. You know one of the things he did? He covered her by fast-tracking every process that should have taken time. But even now, you know now, people get married. What happens? They are counting, okay, month one, month two, and you are discovering, this guy tied the knot, January. Ah, this is June. And yet, it was wonder in the heavens. You know, some, I sat down and I was imagining the delivery process of Mary. Well, think about it now. Have you ever seen where a virgin is having sex for the first time? The pain. Now imagine if it is a child that is coming through that. Huh? Imagine it is a child that is breaking the womb, breaking the hymen. For the first time, coming out, and the pain should have been. And what's the response of God to that? This is wonderful. Huh? And then finally, the child came, and there are elders around who know that. This guy, this woman, you guys have foul play. Everything God does is not in the way people are thinking. The Jews won't believe him, though they understand the Torah. They know that the word of prophecy had gone forth, that a virgin will conceive, but they think the virgin should be in the palace. They think the virgin should at least be somebody that is noble, not a carpenter, not a carpenter's wife, not from Nazareth. Are you seeing how that whenever God wants to do amazing things, when God wants to do unbelievable things, He puts powerful things in packages that confuse both the devil and carnal people. Do you know that the best season of my life that I bless God for right now is the season that things were not fine? Because those seasons prepared me for the season that things will become better. You will never understand how to live and survive the promised land without the trainings of the wilderness. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is the training of the wilderness that gives you the it gives you the wisdom with which you can navigate the ways of God. Because many people didn't die in the wilderness. I'm telling you, God, read your Bible, of course, all generation that left Egypt, all that, you can check their list. But I'm telling you, contemporary times, most people survive their wilderness season. They only die in their promised land. Are you following what I'm saying? Because that's the season where it looks like everything you want to ask God has been provided for, and you have no need to involve Him for needs to be met. If God has not been discovered as a companion in the wilderness, if all you need Him for in the wilderness is provider, when you come to the promised land, you will no longer be relevant in your life. And then you look at your life. Now you can do almost anything without God. Money is coming. You don't really need to pray. Salary comes. Please be seated, my sister. Thank you. So when God says that I'm going to do wonders, somebody said wonders. Say it again, wonders in the heavens. So what does that mean? There are things that the effect is wonderful. The process may not be. You know, last year, August, we moved out of our former venue in church, constructed a tent, and we're going to move in, I think, October. And I was in the office while it was raining. And I just said, let me check what this facility is looking like. And I got in. And in less than 2 minutes, a very strong wind came in and demolished the whole structure. And I had to even run out the millions of naira. To have a live broadcast that evening, went home at my bath, ate at my live broadcast, went to sleep. I called my wife the following morning. I said, so actually, you know, church now says, say church says, that thing we are building says, but you say, is this one of your jokes? I said, it's not to. This is the video. It's down. Do you know? That what happened wasn't necessary. It was not God who did it. But there are things that will not be part of my configuration if it didn't happen. Scripture says that if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified of glory. It is really in the scope of things that the punishment for our sin will be laid on Jesus. But it is the anger of God really that was vented towards me. Not on Jesus, but on sin. But it will take ignorant people to carry out the task. There are wonderful things in your life that wonderful people cannot do. You don't understand. Do you get what I'm saying? There are wonderful events. Let me put it like this. But like I described, both wickedness and evil cannot be measured by looking at the process. It is the end that tells us what just happened. So you can look at a person, and what is happening in this person's life, if you are going to describe it, you say it's under attack. But as far as God's definition is, wonderful. There are things that you will not become by having people who love you only around you. I tell you, Pastor, that if we had succeeded in building that place and moved in, we will rejoice. We will celebrate. But I might be in danger. Because when it crashed, from that moment till now, whenever I drive into our facility, I don't feel like it belongs to me. I'm just a steward here. From the moment it came down, it died in me. It became an offering, offered back. Millions of naira, all glass, one complete.
inside, glass went down. People gave their sweat and blood. And something happened to us in church. Our worship lifestyle increased. Before that time, God gave us an instruction. I know when God gives you some very serious instruction, you will think that the moment you have done this, your ranking just shifts. How do you measure that ranking? Gifts, good things start coming. Hey, you don't know who God is. Your biggest trouble can start after your major impartation.
Okay. You don't know. You don't believe it. You don't like this gospel I'm teaching.
God gave me an instruction, and he said, this is my instruction to you as a church. Don't leave your old venue with a pin. Don't leave with anything. Everything.
Sorry,
you
what
have,
you say? If those so around you, people, it, people around you love
and
you,
I go all out with my blessings. And then, that's the simplest amongst the three instructions he gave me. That's the simplest. The third instruction he gave me, when he mentioned it, my phone fell from my hand. Because I would have to become a big fool to do it. And I asked, do you hear what I'm saying? Let me just give you an hint. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to give you an hint. You are a pastor now. Imagine the worst thing that's happened in your church. The worst division. That this is bad. It should not be taken even in the pit of hell. And God now says, that person, go and beg him. I said, what gospel will you preach with this? How should I tell the people? What example, oh God? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pamisoro. And you know, waiting instructions are volatile. Of course, they are the most volatile. Nah, it will look like it was your mind that told you. He has moved on. Then they taught the instruction, and everything was done. And the response of God in His mercy is that finally this structure needs to come down. And that's the answer. Somebody say wonderful. I said, we had emptied all our accounts. Our partners in different countries, they've given, except they want to give their souls now. And we all have given. And everybody who had promises towards the project before, all got discouraged and stopped. You know, the way God defines blessing, according to God, blessing is not necessarily good stuff. Blessing is anything that leaves you with God as your only option. Okay. You don't like that. You are blessed. I say again, somebody here is blessed. You know, when I feel so at home, so I can talk to you. Abby, what did Abraham do now? He gave gifts to his servants, all the physical things. Then he came to Isaac and said, kneel down. And what was God's definition of that? He gave all that he had to Isaac. Was those all cars and houses? No. What was all that he had? The God I found. Take. Jacob will collect the blessing and will run out with a staff. And will not even wait for the sheep and the oxen and everything, knowing that I have gotten all. In those days, how did they define all? God. Let me say this to you. Many people have been offended in God and have checked out of this Christian race because they don't know the ways of God. That some things you don't believe you deserve can happen after you have given your most powerful sacrifice. And you ask, how does this make sense? Huh? Somebody just said, God spoke to me now, and sir, I want to tell you, this is what God is saying to me. I want to sow my car as a seed towards this project. And our normal human minds will believe when you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. When you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. This is a very powerful seed of my car. Ah, ha, 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 ha. And the next thing that happens is that the fellow just get to work and they say, sorry, we no longer need your service. Because humanly speaking, you just conclude that I have not sown on a fertile soil. Lift your hands. Say it. I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and for wonders. Say it again. We are for signs and for wonders. We are for signs and wonders. I'm not going to belabor you, so I don't go too much into that. But do you really want to be for signs and wonders?
Yes.
If God wants to prove right now that he has a daughter that can trust him regardless. Pastor, and will never be under pressure. And the way he's going to do it is that even people that are looking up to this person in character, in everything, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 suitors. And here is this sister. Sincerely not. Are you aware that a man can be in trouble from the day God boasts about him? And yet that's wonderful. You are not answering. You don't like this gospel. How did Job get into trouble? He sinned. You can look for any theology anywhere and anywhere. It started when God said, have you considered my servant Job? What was God doing? He was trying to make him as a tool of amazement to principalities and powers. Oh God, how do I explain this? I'm trying not to leave this subject and just move on. If everyone here are a staff, all right, in my organization, and I want to prove that I have someone amongst people here that can deliver against all odds, do you know what that means? Is that I'm going to put the fellow in a situation where no one should deliver under those circumstances. But the reason why the fellow is there in the first place is not because the fellow is bad, it's even because the fellow is faithful. Should I reduce the heat? I'm not shouting, I'm
not usually much of a loud person. Do you understand what I'm saying? And do you know that it is even a privilege? Do with me what you want. You know how those songs we sing? We our generation just have so much grammar. And so much things that we don't even understand. I am your battlement, your weapon. The person who sang it knows what he's saying. But we the backup team. Battlements. If they throw you from here to Sokoto, battlements. Say it again. I am the children that the Lord has given to me. We are for signs. We are for wonders. Okay, let me wrap it up by saying this. That if you ask God, that Father, from today, help me to be more humble. I want the spirit of humility. How do you think God will answer that prayer? By giving you a very proud person. True or not true? Are you aware that's the answer? Hold on a minute. Are you aware your humility can never be known without a very arrogant person around you? And usually it's not going to be a new arrogant person, same old person that you don't like. God just orchestrates something that becomes your roommate. Perfect test. And God will say, this is the balance. From the day you no longer feel the heat of what this person is, that prayer has been completely answered. When you say, Lord, I receive victory, you are also asking for a fight. Because victory is a language only used in battle. We are for signs and wonders. That's the truth. Do you know the reason why we are going to judge angels? Because we stay faithful without beholding the glory of God. Because we are looking through a glass darkly. And they wonder, we have seen him. Understand that in context. We know what the melody of heaven is. We know what the worship is. Jesus commands in this territory and he walks this street. But look at these guys. Are you aware that angels are not looking at you as fools? They are rather learning from you. From your faith. Your devotion. The days you have deadlines to meet, and yet nothing is forthcoming, and you can still go on your knees and worship. And they are looking at it that we know what is here. It is going to be easy for anyone who has seen what we have seen to do this. But what about these guys whom have we not seen yet believes? To angels. Our lives is inspiring. Our stories will be told. Men who through faith subdued kingdoms, who quench the fiery dart of the enemy, who shut the mouth of lions, out of weaknesses were made strong. Our stories are written. There are angels taking notes. In the midst of weaknesses, this fellow is saying, I'm battling with an addiction. And they can see that what this fellow is battling with is more than just an addiction. This is a spirit. It has fought against everyone that dared to carry this mantle. And in the midst of this, this fellow holds on to the cross and then still seeking Jesus. I wonder. Believe that you are a wonder. When you watch your Nollywood movies and people are trying to do power
and somebody says, take it there.
Did they say take it? I saw you.
I say, oh yeah. You see something come out. Is it because you don't see our eyes blazing with fire when we tell demons, get out? Is it because you don't see us lifted up when we walk through the valleys of the shadows of death and we fear no evil? It is with us. I'm careful about saying this statement, but that's the crux of this teaching. That every challenge and every trouble we even go through and yet carrying this treasure in these 18 vessels is an opportunity to manifest this wonder the more. Our life becomes a template for pilgrims that will still walk in the path we have walked. They will read our stories and be inspired. And in those days, our trouble will no longer be troubles, but they'll be tools of inspiration. Oh, how that we are so privileged to be a part of his suffering. And yet, in his own definition, it's wonderful. All the things that you are going through now, they are troubles of this present time. They only came to pass. When your story is being told that day in the heavens, and angels will come and listen, read the story of this individual, those are the days you'll be proud of your troubles. Theologies are not historical in nature. To compare, you know, an average believer believes that for a truth of a doctrine to be established in the world, what you need is the mouth of two or three witnesses. But when you study theology and understand what it is, you will understand that no doctrine is worthy of being a doctrine until the whole scripture gives credence to it. That is, it is not just enough that there's two or three witnesses. You can find that also in idolatry. But it must be that when we look at the patterns of God from Genesis till Revelation, it gives accreditation to this body of truth. So we have found a way to conclude that people might only go through troubles when they are not getting it right. It is not true. The balance also is that what God wants to do with your life will not directly invite problem on his own. for problems to still come, for certain things to still happen, it will be also by the virtue of a door you today closed properly. But it will have been insignificant if not for the new thing God wants to do. For instance, the whole thing started with God saying, "Have you considered my servant Job?" But later we found out that Job said, "That which I feared has finally come." Are you following what I'm saying? So what I want to show you is that though our own frailties and our own deficiencies might give room for certain things, but yet in the midst of them is the opportunity for God to manifest his wonder through our lives. When Pastor Yi Adeboye's son died, what do you want to say now? Is it prayer? You will say a man like this is not praying. Or is it fasting? I was in camp year 2012 when a Muslim woman coming to camp, the wife of an Alhaji, who lied to her husband she was going somewhere, was sneaking down to camp to pray. According to our custom, had an accident, and the accident, herself and her three children died. I am not telling you something I heard. I was in the clinic. They died. And it was around the time when they brought in their body, it was around the time that Baba was just going randomly to pray at the clinics, and according to his custom, just lay the hands and just say his quiet prayers. Just lay hands, cover them up, and he left. And then less than 15 minutes later, all of them sneezed back to life. The same man is looking at his son dead. Is not coming back to life. And I saw the mockery of this generation on media. Oh, how that soldiers who are real generals amongst us are not known till they are gone. And the next time the man was going to preach, he was giving a salute. That we know we serve a God who can raise the dead, even when his son did not rise. What is that? It's a wonder. Okay. Let me read Ephesians 3 then. To the intent that now unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. You may not understand this in context, but can you give me another translation? Let's start from Amplified Translation so you can understand. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety, an innumerable aspect might now be made known to angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. What does that mean? The wonder God is talking about is the manifestation of you and I. This one is not the kind that happens when we raise the dead or when we turn nations upside down. This one is the kind of wonder that happens when we refuse to bow. Listen to me. Look up. When Moses got before Pharaoh and he said, God has sent, he said, okay. It's not a news. And he
said, he took the rod in his hand and he threw it down. He laughed. This is elementary sorcery and divination. Montaru, come. And he carried his own staff. The guy did not even say anything. Just dropped it. And he gave me a snake too. I was there with the guys. I saw a video online. I don't know why I'm always seeing these things. And they were interviewing an herbalist. And he was going to prove to them that there's power. And he was carrying a pot, normal iron pot. And they put the pot on the table, normal iron pot. On the camera, we are looking at it like this is pot. And he had yam, this yam. He peeled the yam, put the yam inside pot, and covered it. So I'm going to cook this yam for you now. And he carried something in his hand, all those stuffs, and he just was touching the pot and was speaking something. And before our very eyes, it was boiling. And he cooked it. You have not done up to that to begin to say that you are powerful. It is not a surprise to the devil. If anything will be a wonder in the heavenly realms, it is not actually just about all these things. It is about standing when you could have compromised. It is about holding on when you could have doubted God. Why is Abraham respected? Abraham earned the respect of God. Moses earned the respect of God. God was telling Miriam, he said, "Who amongst you claim to be a prophet? But I speak with two dreams." He said, "There is none amongst you like Moses, my friend, whom I speak with face to face, as a man speaks to you." He said, "Are you not afraid?" God was the one giving them sense. Now, are you not afraid to bring accusation against such a man? But these guys were even able to do this because God had told Moses, "Let me wipe all of them away and start something new to you." And Moses told God, he said, "See, I know you can do it. But if you do it now, they will say that you brought them out of Egypt, or you are not powerful enough to take them to the promised land, so you kill them." And God said, It's true. God now says, "I repent." Scripture says, "And God repented of the evil which he had proposed to do." And then, look at what the Israelites have been doing. God now told Moses, "Speak to the rock." He struck the rock. Then God said, "You won't get to the promised land." That God can even, are you aware that is a privilege? If you are no longer being dealt with, it means you are not even, there is no expectation from your life. This one, it is because of the level he was operating in. Oyeyini. I believe that I don't need all the time in the world to say what I want to say, and for the Holy Ghost to do it from there. But most times, let me say this to you and go home with this statement. You think that you are now powerful when big things begin to happen in your life.
Meanwhile, the time you have earned so much respect was the time that those things were not happening. Now, when you know there's so much grace upon your life, where it looks like God shut every human eyes from seeing it. When our church started, I'll be asking God, when we are going to start church, our first venue was 50,000. And that 50,000, I emptied my account. Everybody in the ministry emptied their account. And by everybody, you know that kind of everybody, emptied their account. And yet the money was not enough. So you know the accounts were empty. The account was already empty. We emptied it more. Jesus. All of us now now can we talk about ministry ethics? A man of God should not do this. I was on singlet, sir. And shortly, the boys too were painting the wall. Where would we get painted? For where? We got a venue. It was a bar. We teaching on Sunday morning. They are roasting shawarma. Are you me? As we are teaching, the shawarma that is entry. You are hearing bottle, cocoa, this. No matter the prayer you have prayed, when you get to church, I bet you fly away. One of my sons came to the church. He's now my boy. He was advising our pastor. He said, "You cannot grow like this. You are running church, new generation. You don't have keyboard. You don't have this. You can't grow." Drum sets. It will not equip. Before we got drum sets, we couldn't even buy. First drum set, one family had to volunteer and dash us from Okuku. Their sons were using to do the outside the house. They all say, pastor has started church. Oh yeah, why be? They brought the drum set to Oshobo. It was branch, as it was branching, different things were getting lost and all that. Speaker, where will you get speaker? Awaluku, come and set NG. When he holds microphone to test, hello, 1-2. 1-2. You hear it, anointing, disappear. Ah, no, lele. You called everybody. What do you used to call me? Epo. That's the time you earn respect. That's the time you are a wonder. Let me say this to you, because I want to, just, like I said, I'm just laying a foundation. If you are going to be great, listen to me and listen well. You must know how to duplicate your dispositions in those seasons into your seasons of manifestation. The way you will roll on the floor when there was no demon. Don't stop. You don't know what's really. I was in a meeting, they were asking me. They said, if you could go back, what would you have wanted God to do differently? I said, it's very simple. I would have wanted him to see hide me. Hide you. No. Let me say this to you. Most time when you begin to hear about men, the real weight has dropped. And I know what I'm saying. In those seasons, God could put me on a shutdown for an entire year. It's not too late for me to go on shutdown. Are you following what I'm saying? But I know many things administratively that will still call my attention. Wife is there. Daughter is there. I'm just traveling. Before I get back to my house from this trip, the next week, Wednesday, I have many trips to connect. And I say, I'll miss you. I'll do this. For in those days, I could pick my Bible, my bag, and disappear. Now, you have believed maybe your life is bad. You are this. You are not worth anything. Now, put your right hand on your chest and say it with full chest. I am a wonder.
Wait. Wait. Let me ask you a question. What are you struggling with? The reason you are calling it a struggle is even because you are fighting. For some, that's a lifestyle. To fight. But it was not how to fight the good fight. That's not the topic for today. Are you following what I'm saying?
Sir.
And that's why the righteous can fall once and still rise. How many times? 7 times. That's why I'm showing you this scripture. That Christians like yourself, gathered in churches, true Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about even amongst the angels. We are a wonder. We are a wonder. And it is serious. Some of us have been hit with things that you don't expect us to still be around. But of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Put your hands on your chest again. Say it with your full chest. I wonder. Come on, say it again.
I wonder.
Say it again.
I wonder.
Before I leave this place, let's open Hebrews 11. Getting understanding. I used to think that God doesn't love me. Depart. Won't do. Stop. Why? Have God ever given you instruction? You are wondering, okay, what do you want to achieve with this? And sometimes it doesn't want to achieve anything. It just want to achieve you. That's all. Are you following what I'm saying? In our carnal mind, sometimes you want to enter a bus and you hear God say, don't enter. What's your conclusion? Let me not enter. This bus might have accident. And you'll get to the front. The bus will even get to the destination before you. Fine. You are inside this one, you now enter. You now even suffer. You see, what? Okay. What's God achieving with this thing? He's achieving something new that can help you have a default configuration of yes, Lord, because of the day your life will depend on it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let me show you Hebrews 11 and I wrap up. You see, I just like to stay with the purpose of the meeting. You might just, maybe when you have seen the topic, Wonders Without Numbers, you would have expected I would have been here, and by now would have scattered all the chairs. But if you understand this, you will not need to fall, you will stand. You know, when you look at people like that, Ikumu and all that, you believe there's no power. Those ones don't have power because you don't scatter chain. Okay. Power generator. What's power? One of God's ministry in Dunamis, they're opening their church. A madman was passing outside, not inside the church, outside. By being in that perimeter, madness left. They ran to church, give testimony. If that's not power, what is it? They were holding Jesus captive. Peter removed sword, cut somebody's ears. Is that not to call power? Jesus took it, put the ears back. Which one is power? The first thing you will learn in this school is doing. But the most important lesson is to allow God to. But leave that. You don't have to think about it. So, let me read Hebrews chapter number 11. And then let's jump to verse 33. Oh, sorry. Yes, 33. There's so much. I didn't prep your mind, but no problem. Alright? There's so much weight of God's glory. Can you lift your hands and accept it? There's so much weight. You must understand and discern it. The atmosphere is not just waiting for no reason. There's so much weight. And usually God is doing some things. He's purging some things. He's making some things. There's so much weight of God's glory. He's giving meaning to somebody's experience. He's strengthening somebody for the next journey. He's helping somebody understand something better. He's equipping somebody. He's not just here for nothing. Now look at it. Hebrews 11 verse 33. Let's rise on our feet as we take this last reading. Men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Yes. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. It's really two parts. I don't have time to go into it. And others have trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were. You know, the first part was describing what they were doing. The second part is describing what was done to them. And yet, the power to do what they did is still at work in them. Ask me, in greater dimensions. Were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. If you listen to me, if you understand this scripture, pressure will die in your life. This pressure, this need to use anointing as validation, to use title as validation, to use material things as validation, it will die. Amongst these men mentioned here is David. Among these men is Abraham. Yet in the height of their prosperity, scripture says, they had a burden greater than what human technology can know. They were wandering about in sheepskin. There is something deeper than all the experience they want to get. And the devil is wondering, wow, what kind of people are this one? People will sell their soul to get all these things. And that's why God first gives you to a thing before he trusts you with it.
Yes,
the reason you may never touch it is because of the way you are looking for it. The day you die to it, he trusts you with it. In the kingdom, you are not trusted with what you are looking for. No. You are trusted with what you are dead to. The day a man dies to influence, influence rises. The day a man dies to money, wealth comes. Anything you are not dead to has the power in itself to take the seat of God. Wonder about it. She could be destitute, afflicted, tormented. Yes, continue. Of whom the world was not worthy. Let me just say this before we have tomorrow's session. Can I say this to you? Tomorrow, before tomorrow's session, I don't know how the media can help us. For you to have listened to this teaching at least 3 times. If not, anything I'm saying tomorrow may just be flying over your head. You may just not understand me. Are you following what I'm saying? Hear this at least how many times? And the many of you will be alright on call. Just plug in the earphone if you can. And just hear it again and again. Because you know what it means for a man to exist, and God's conclusion about the man is that the earth is not worthy of this man. prayer is not about, oh God help our priorities. God help our priorities. God help our priorities. Let me round up with this story. I was listening to Apostle Joshua Selman into the night, and was sharing a story. He said, for many years, God did not allow him to get a car. I said, what is this? So even while we were listening to Koinonia messages, getting all over the nations of the world, penetrating different places, the man himself will get where to minister in Zaria on bike. There are people who can sew car. They sew, God said, take it back. He could buy the car himself. God says no. He said he will go to different places with convoy. But go back to, imagine you going from here to Zaria, and the man of God will come to listen to, he's coming down on bike. With the carnal way we grade men in this generation, what will be your conclusion of him? A prophet has no honor in his own land. Already I saw yesterday he's training on Twitter. And he's not even there. How that God gives you what he takes from you. If only you understand this. Listen to me. If you understand this, you will know what makes men become a wonder. It is not in the noise, though. It is in staying. But I know that the Holy Ghost is, his hand is upon you right now. With the one you can understand at least at this level, ask God, make me a wonder. Listen to me. Collect me from my own plan and purpose. Rescue me from myself. Make me the wonder. I want the choir to help me with this song as I leave. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering.
Make me a vessel. Make me an offering.
Blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical Flame.
To partner with Flame, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.